It's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and Rosh Chodesh is always a day of blowing the shofars, blowing the chatzaitzris. It's a day of simcha. It's a day of new beginning. And especially today, I think rumor has it that the lovely government of the State of Israel is supposed to declare to abolish itself today, which I think is a wonderful thing, because most probably the best accomplishment that this government has accomplished is making sure that we have lots of dirty dishes and we don't use plastic disposable silverware and plates. And I'm very much looking forward to a brand new government where we won't have so many dirty dishes in the sinks anymore, and just make my life a lot easier. But on a more serious note, also a day of simcha because of the fact that I'm still sort of, you know, coming down from yesterday's simcha. And before that, I still really haven't covered from the simcha that was previous to that, because one of the last guests that showed up last night, long after you guys were gone, was my chutin from across the street. They came in by bus to Ramat Beit Shemesh. If they would have known that, you know, there was transportation from yeshiva, maybe they could have made their lives easier. But they had three in a row. The day that we finished Sheva Brachas, so then their daughter got engaged. And before us, so then there was another simcha. So they had three back-to-backers. But here, when we announced the most previous, my son's simcha, so somebody said, simcha gerer is simcha. Simcha gerer is simcha. They told me about that, that Rabbi Shurkin, when he heard such a line, he said, you know, what do you have? Simcha gerer is simcha. Avera gerer is avera. What is that? Simcha gerer is simcha. But the other person said, no, that he heard it from an Adam Gadol, and it's Kabbalah, and it's deep in Yonim. That I don't know about. But what I do know is that you have a Gaon in Mishlei. A Gaon in Mishlei says that any time you have a person that starts in a certain mode of behavior, whether it's mitzvah, whether it's avera, whether it's a midah taiva, whether it's a midah ra, whether it's a frame of mind, so then that creates an energy, he calls it a ruach, for the future. And when you act on that ruach, when you give expression to that ruach, that's called nachas ruach. So it makes sense that when you're a frame of mind of simcha, so then the simcha is going to lead to an urge, a desire, or a tendency to be happy in the future. And simcha is a very, very good thing, because it energizes us, it gives us kayach to go on, and it ties in an indirect way to the topic that I want to talk about today for a few minutes. And that's the topic of Mises Aaron HaKayin, and really who Aaron HaKayin was, which gives us an insight to different types of people that you have in this world and what we should be learning from them. This week is Zeis Chukas HaTorah. Parshas Chukas, everybody knows Parshas Chukas, is the parsha of the chayk. Chayk means the din that we don't understand the reason for. Whereas paraduma is the chukas ha-tayra, but everything is really chukas ha-tayra, because even the things that make sense in the Torah, we don't really understand the reason. You go through Bava Kama, which is supposedly mishpatim, go explain, you know, all the different pirtei dinim there. You can't really, really understand it. But the message is that we do things not because we understand them, that gives a little bit more cheshek, but we do things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do them, and then we figure out the answer afterwards, we figure out the reason afterwards, we don't figure out the reason afterwards, it doesn't really make a difference. And in a similar vein, right after that, Miriam passes from this world. The Be'er Shel Miriam, the water is taken away. And then, because we need water, so you have Moshe and Aaron, who make the mistake that ultimately costs them their lives, the Mei Meriva, where they're told to speak to the rock, and it doesn't work. And logically, you would think that if it's not working, then try something else. Hit the rock. They hit the rock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, Yan le'amantem bila haktisheni le'eni b'nei Yisrael, l'chein le'saviu es ha'kol hazeh la'aretz asher nasati lahem, because of the fact that you used your seichel, and you didn't just do what I told you to do, so then it's going to cost you your life. Very soon after that, Aaron HaKohen is taken up to Har HaHar, literally means the mountain of mountains. There's a mountain on top of mountains, right? Interesting, Aaron HaKohen is buried up there on the perch, and we know where he's buried. You can go to Jordan and take a tour over there, I think. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, he's buried in a place that, Reish HaPisgah. But the Pasuk tells us, Le'yada ishes kvuros ayada yoy mazeh. No one even knows where he is buried. Aaron HaKohen is the person who, during his lifetime, is all dressed up in the Big Day Kahuna, all kinds of wool and gold and stones and everything, very resplendent. Moshe Rabbeinu, during his lifetime, is wearing a masveh. You can't even see his face. Aaron HaKohen is the man of Aveda. Moshe Rabbeinu is the man of Torah, of Mesorah, giving over the Devar Hashem. Aaron HaKohen is colorful. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Anav. And it's very interesting that when Moshe is told now to go ahead and bury Aaron, so Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take Aaron in a way that, look, Aaron, you are better than me. Kaches Aaron, v'esalaza b'noi v'hal oisam har har. Go take Aaron. And Rashi quotes the Tanchuma over here. How does Moshe take Aaron? B'divrei Nechumen. He comforts him and say, look, Aaron, you're better off than I am. And more loy, Ashrecha. Shetira kisrecha nasin l'vanecha. You're going to look at your crown, the Keser Kahuna, is going to be given over to Elazar HaKohen. Masha'in ani zakai l'kacha. I don't have that zechus. Later on we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu was appointing Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu had a, call it a tsar, call it whatever, that he gave it over to Yeshua rather than giving it over to his children. And he's kachas Aaron by saying, look, you have this advantage over me, that you're giving your kahuna to Elazar HaKohen, you're going to see it carry in your line. I don't have that zechus. Ein ani zeich l'kach. But it's interesting to think about, because l'maisa, if you think about it, that's exactly how it should be. Aaron's role, like we said, is a very, very public role. The kahuna is not about a person. The kahuna is not about a messerah. The kahuna is about the Big Day Kahuna and doing the Aveda in a very, very public way. And Aaron's son, it has to be Aaron's son, it has to be another Kayin, it has to be somebody who's related, is looked at as a continuation, Brakara Davua, of that lineage, and now he becomes the Kohen, he becomes Aaron throughout history. Masha Inkein, Moshe Rabbeinu's very essence is his Anava. There is no person, there is no personality, there is no Moshe. Moshe is the Devar Hashem. He's the Eved Hashem, he's the Eved Neman. So naturally, who gets it over? The one who's going to give over that Devar Hashem in the purest way. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu saying? Ein ani zeiche l'kach. That I'm not zeiche. It's not a lack of a zechus l'chayra. That's what your job is. Don't you want to give it over to the person who's going to give over the Dvar Hashem in the best possible way? You're the Anav. What do you care if it's your son or somebody else's son? The Dvar Hashem is what matters. But yet the Torah doesn't give it over that way. the Tanchuma says, I'm not zecher for that. Epis, there is mashahu over here. The Moshe Rabbeinu felt, I don't know if you could say it, tsar. But Moshe Rabbeinu looked at it, that there's something that Aaron has that I don't have. Even though his job was done perfectly. He's only the Dvar Hashem. He's the Anav Mikol Adam. There is no uniform for Moshe Rabbeinu other than the masveh of hiding his personality, hiding his face. But there's something that Aaron has that Moshe doesn't have. What is it? And what does that tell us? Last week we had the zechus to go back to, I don't know, call it old stomping grounds or whatever. Every one of us had the opportunity last week, you know, to be the disco rabbi. Right outside a discotheque, I had a serious taiva to like walk into the place. My Hebrew's not good enough. Maybe next time I'll overcome myself. But I don't know if that's what did it, but on this Shabbaton that we had last week, there was more dancing on this Shabbaton than any other Shabbaton that I remember in Tomo history. Maybe it was just sort of the Avira, or maybe something else, but we danced during the davening, and we danced during every single Suuda, and everybody, you know, whatever. So I was talking to one of the main instigators, you know, Shimi Gross, after one of the Seudas, and I said to him, you know, Shimi, you're going to get everybody here wearing Streimlich. He said, what do you mean? I don't even wear a Streimlich. My father doesn't wear a Streimlich. He said, your Streimlich's inside your head. Some Hasidim have a Streimlich on top of their head, and some Hasidim have a Streimlich inside of their head. And then we got into a discussion about Simcha. Is Simcha something which is Hasidish as opposed to Litvish, you know? Litvaks believe in being morbid and depressed. To which I said, no, it can't be. It's not the Litvaks and it's not the Hasidim, it's David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. It's just that some people's simcha is by singing and dancing. Some people's simcha is by making diukim and saying givaldike, you know, simcha dika shtiklach tera. You have the Rosh Hashiva's simcha, which I believe is sitting at 2:30 in the morning in his house over a rajba, kumi roini balayla, just feeling a sense of ecstasy and just pondering into Hashem's Torah when no one else is around to see you. That's what I think. But then I said to him, listen, though, you don't even have to say this. Let's look at the halachas that we're learning in Halacha Seder. How do you daven Shmoneh Esrei? Ein oimdim lehispalel atzlus, all the other different things you have over there. Ella, you take simcha shel mitzvah. A person can't approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless he has simcha shel mitzvah. Simcha elevates the person, it energizes the person. It puts him in touch with reality. If a person is sad, he's morbid, he's living a heavy physical life. He has no shaychus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then if you look at the halachas further, there's two types of simcha. One type of simcha shel mitzvah, has to do with Torah. And the other one, the last halacha in the siman over there, is that people who deal with other people, people who help other people with their Aveda, people who help other people in their Yiddishkeit, that's also called Simcha Shel Mitzvah. And if you think about it to the end, you realize that these two types, the Simcha Shel Torah and the simcha of being Me'urav Mabrius, Eiske B'tzarchei Tzibur, those really are the two ksarim that we're talking about when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu and we talk about Aaron. It's a famous question. So many times, Rashi brings it, it's Midrashim, they say Moshe and Aaron shkulim heim, they're equal. Shkulim heim, they're on par. It's not true. Pasuk says Meforish, then no one will ever be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Sayas Nevuah, Sayas is level of Ruchnias. Never be another Moshe Rabbeinu. What do you mean Shkulim Heim? Shkulim Mises Tzadikim Kisreifas Besal Ekenu. Shkulim doesn't mean equal. It means that it's the same currency. It means that each one had a different tafkid and each one fulfilled his tafkid to the end exactly as he was supposed to. And Moshe Rabbeinu's tafkid was Dvar Hashem, Anova, pure Mesira, no personality. Aaron's tafkid, on the other hand, was to be the Kohen, dressed up, public, Horahar, mountain of mountains, high profile, and when Aaron HaKohen dies, there's much more of a mourning than there was for Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, Vayivko Yisrael, Kol Yisrael, men, women, children, everybody, because he impacted everybody's lives. Two types, each one a different tafkid, but shkulim heim. And l'chera, that's what it means, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had to go and say to Aaron HaKohen, Kachas Aaron, Ma she'en ani zakai l'kach. It wasn't that there's a chalishas hadas. It wasn't this, okay, fine, I wish that I was like you. But see, you have a zechus that I don't. You have a different tafkid. It's the tafkid of being Isaac B'tzorchei Tzibur. Ayev Shalom, Roidev Shalom, Ayev Esabriyas, U'makarvan Latera. It's a different tafkid. And that tafkid comes with benefits. Everybody cries for Aaron, not so Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen gives it over to his children, because Aaron HaKohen's tafkid is a tafkid of personality. And Brokara Da'avua is not on the level of the Messiah. It could be also. But where it's absolutely necessary, it's als the personality, als the Malchus, or als the Kahuna. And that doesn't go with Moshe Rabbeinu's tafkid. Moshe Rabbeinu's tafkid is only the Dvar Hashem, is only the Mesira, and therefore it doesn't go with Brok Harad Avua. Masha Ein Ani Zeichel Kach. Talking about earlier in the week, we had the question and answer. So people already brought up Bein Hazmanim. Bein Hazmanim, what should I do during Bein Hazmanim? I utilize a Bein Hazmanim. We talked about different things as far as Siddurim and everything like that. There was one thing that I left out of the discussion, having to do with this Nakuda over here. Definitely, you know, whatever. The Siddurim, and definitely making sure that, you know, you're davening properly and everything like that. But maybe the greatest thing that a person can accomplish during Bein Hazmanim, especially, I mean, only if you're home, is give your parents a feeling when they see you a week or two or three of Ashrei Yeladitai. The job of every guy who comes home after a year, after a zman in yeshiva, is to give his parents a sense of, like, I was really doing something there. My davening is not the same davening. My learning is not the same learning. And I'm not the same son that I was before. And any good parent, any honest parent, no matter how much they're holding in their Yiddishkeit, or no matter how much they're not holding in their Yiddishkeit, they can see the goodness in their son. Ashrei Yeladitai. That comes not from a Messiah, that comes from a personality. Taking everything that you learned and showing them that it transformed you as a person. That this is a character, this is an individual who we're going to be proud of, we can continue to be proud of all the days of his life. Well, Maisa, we mentioned this in the question and answer. What does every parent really want? A parent wants a child to be successful. What's the definition of success? It's not money, and it's not power, and it's not honor. It's just, well, what did I produce? A good person. And that's what Torah does to us. it transforms us on two levels. Number one, it makes us the repository of a Messiah. But number two, that Messiah is supposed to go through us, and it's supposed to transform us, and we're supposed to become different people. One is the Bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu. The other one is the Bechina of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen, the Torah transforming his personality, giving it over to his children. Hora Hor, the big day kahuna. There's an external expression of everything that the Torah comes to embody. And you give it over to society, you give it over to the tzibur, you give it over to all of Klal Yisrael. We should be zeichet to both bechinas, and the rest of the zman, we should have the Torah transform us, and Be'ez Hashem, people who will go back over Bein HaZmanim, should be successful in showing that and giving that over to the people all around them, so people can see that this is what Torah is and this is what Torah does. And parents can say those great words of Ashrei Yeladotai. Have a good Shabbos.